All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to reconvene and call to order our regular meeting. And this evening, we have an invocation by Chaplain Warren Johnson, and Director Aguirre is going to lead us in the pledge. Could you please stand?
Well, we are entering into the Thanksgiving week, and my daughter Michelle tried to explain to her five-year-old the meaning of Thanksgiving. And when she was done, she said, "Aiden, do you understand?" And he said, "I do. I'm thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful because you love me. I'm thankful because you allowed me to come into this family and to be a part of this family." What Aiden doesn't know is that he's adopted. And yet he would understand not that, but he understands Thanksgiving. And I hope you do as well as we enter into that this next week. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We are grateful for the opportunity that we have to share and honored to be a part of this fire service. We pray now that you'll bless the remainder of this time together. Bless it. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. All right. Roll call. Madam City Clerk, is our system up? Or if not,
yeah,
we can do it.
I'll call.
Pardon me?
I'll call.
Okay.
Okay. Director Sonoda?
Here.
Director Swift? Director Johnson?
Here.
Director Lalloway?
Here.
Director Goodhart?
Here.
Director Brissett?
Present.
Director McCluskey? Director Hatch?
Here.
Director McCullough?
Present.
Director Kazumoto?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Director Aguirre?
Here.
Director Gamble?
Here.
Director Baker? Here. Director Olivato? Director Amazuka?
Here.
Director Sloan?
Here.
Director Shaver?
Here.
Director Barnett?
Present.
Director Ta?
Here.
Director Hernandez?
Here.
Director Bates?
Here.
Director Spitzer?
Here.
Vice Chair Murray?
Present, ma'am.
Chair Weinberg? We have a quorum.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Next on our agenda is presentations, and I'm going to go down to the podium and have the chief join me. Okay, we have several presentations for some staff members that are going to be retiring, and so I'll start off with Mr. Steelman. Is he here this evening? He's not here? Okay, all right. Mr. David Batista. All right, I happen to know Mr. Batista very well because I used to bug him at 2 o'clock in the morning when I worked for Irvine Police Department out of the Irvine Spectrum. And on occasion, we'd have a few people that probably had a little bit too much to consume that evening and sometimes gave us a little difficult time in leaving the Spectrum area. And on occasion, we had to take them into custody in a manner prescribed by law. And on occasion, there would be bumps and bruises both on us and them. So 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we'd be calling Station 51. And out of us dead sleep, I'd see Mr. Batista. And he said, "Another one of those nights, huh, Mr. Murray?" I said, "Yeah, another one of those nights." So David, personally, I'd like to thank you for all your help and always keeping a smile on your face at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning when Sergeant Murray and our troops were calling you to help us out. All right. Fire Captain David Batista began his professional career as a firefighter assigned to the Emergency Command Center in 1978. He also served as a firefighter paramedic at Medic 23 in the city of Villa Park. He promoted to fire apparatus engineer paramedic in 1979 and served in the city of Laguna Hills in 1982. He became a captain and served in the cities of Laguna Niguel, Aliso Viejo, and currently in Irvine. Captain Batista has also served as an emergency medical services coordinator, training officer, and interim PIO. When asked his favorite memory, Captain Batista indicated it was responding to a medical aide on a football field in Rancho Santa Margarita. After the incident, a woman approached him and asked if he had worked as a paramedic in San Juan Capistrano. He responded that he had, and she said, "You delivered my baby. Do you remember that?" He didn't remember until she said it was a breech birth. Then he remembered it being a very difficult situation where he was able to deliver the baby, even though it was a breech presentation. The woman then called to a young man who appeared to be about 15 years old, and she said to him, "This is the paramedic that saved your life. He delivered you." She told Captain Batista that his middle name was David, named after him. He said, "It is that kind of experience that makes you proud of what you have done over the years." And with that, let's give a great round of applause to 35 years of service.
Just like to take this opportunity to thank the fire chief and certainly then Sergeant Murray and all those late nights at the Spectrum when we'd go there. We had more than our fair share of fun while we were there. It's been a long career at 35 years and plus some additional time as a seasonal firefighter and as a hotshot and as a volunteer. And I'm drawing this career to an end before the end of the year. And it's been a great run. I've made a lot of great friends. There are a lot of great people in this organization. And the one thing that I would like to do at this point is to admonish this JPA board. You have a lot of great people here. You have a lot of people out in the field that sometimes feel left behind. Get out and know your firefighters. Go out and visit those stations. Take a moment and listen to them. You've got a lot of talent out there that's willing to step up and help. I know we've been, unfortunately, had some tough times in the papers and things as of late, but you have a lot of people out there that are willing to help. I served several years on our union executive board. The union is willing to help. The members are willing to help, and they look to you as the leaders out there, and you guys need to step up and take care of them. They're here representing you and your citizens. Take that time to get to know them. For the other people in the organization, the leadership of this organization, take the time to listen to your people. You've got a lot of great ideas out there, a lot of people with talent, a lot of people that are well educated and trained to be able to help you. All you need to do is put out your hand, and that hand will be returned. That's the thing that I've found with the crews that I've worked with, the people I've worked for, and the people that work for me now. And with that, I just want to leave the organization with saying, good luck, Godspeed, and best wishes to you guys. Thank you.
All right, next we have a gentleman, 40 years of service, Fire Captain Jeffrey Morgan. Jeff? Battalion 6, Fire Station 5, City of Laguna Niguel. Captain Jeffrey Morgan began his professional firefighting career in 1973. From 1976 to 1985, he served as a firefighter at Santa Ana Fire Department. In 1986, he became a fire engineer, and from 1991 to 1998, served as a battalion chief's aide. In 2006, Jeff promoted to fire captain, where he is currently assigned to Fire Station 5 in the city of Laguna Niguel. When asked a favorite memory, he said it was serving Captain Pablo Barriga. So with that, I would like to have Jeff come forward and say a few words.
Thank you. I want to thank my engine company crew for being here tonight. I want to thank my wife, Dana, and my son, Evan, who needs to leave right away to do a PowerPoint. And I want to let everybody know that if you work 40 years for the fire department, go on more than 20,000 calls and 200 fires, you can have hair like this, too.
And our last presentation for the evening is Orange County Fire Authority Purchasing Division's presentation, Achievement of Excellence Procurement Award. And I'd like to call Debbie Casper and staff members Mary Lee Fravel and Roth Ong to the podium. The Orange County Fire Authority Board of Directors would like to recognize and present this trophy to the Orange County Fire Authority's Purchasing Division for the Achievement of Excellence in Procurement Award for 2013. This is the fifth year the Fire Authority has received the award. The Achievement of Excellence in Procurement Award recognizes organizational excellence in procurement. Public and nonprofit organizations earn the award by obtaining a high application score based on standardized criteria. The judging criteria are designed to measure innovation, professionalism, e-procurement productivity, and leadership attributes of the procurement function. The Achievement of Excellence in Procurement Award is sponsored by various national procurement institutes. The Orange County Fire Authority is one of 36 government agencies in California and one of 23 special districts in the United States to receive this award. On behalf of the Orange County Fire Authority Board of Directors, we congratulate you and thank you for your hard work and outstanding achievement.
Debbie?
I just want to say thank you for allowing me to serve as the purchasing manager for the Orange County Fire Authority. It's an honor, and I'm glad that we are able to achieve excellence.
And I'd just like to mention that in terms of the retirements, that's 110 years of service, public safety service, that's going to be retiring. And that's a lot of a great experience. So thank you, gentlemen, for your service to OCFA. Okay, in terms of the presentations, it is requested that we have a motion. So would someone like to make, I'll make a motion to accept those recommended actions for our commendations and proclamations. Do we have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
All right, we have a second. Any conversation? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Objections? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, that moves us on to public comments, and we have one request to speak this evening, and I don't see a name on here, but if I, yeah, I've got a feeling it must be Mr. Wentruski. Was I correct on LSL procurement?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wentruski.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members, Stephen Wentruski, Mission Viejo. And I've got a question, and it's, what's happened to the LSL procurement audit question that I've raised and the follow-up on that issue? I've got three letters, 9 pages worth of documents here with questions regarding that audit that have yet to be responded to me. No one from LSL has called me, ever called me on my findings as a whistleblower. I personally sent two packages of documents, including my own work papers, to them. I'm a former CPA, auditor, and a certified fraud specialist, yet nobody from LSL called me on all the things that I uncovered. It seems very, very strange. Also, very, very strange looking, too, is that I brought forth comments on a $10 million fire engine award. This was the award to KME where a one-year contract for $2 million was turned into a five-year contract for $10 million, number one. Number two, the technical bid evaluations looked really suspect, okay? And where we've had questions on bid rigging, those technical evaluations look very, very suspect. And the other thing is that the competitor who lost out on the bid, which was EVG, they sent a bid protest letter into the OCFA. The board was never given a copy of that letter. I never knew it existed until I actually looked into the procurement files. This group here never saw it. In that letter, they also questioned the technical bid evaluations, and they also said that if things were done on an apple-to-apple basis, they were the actual low bidder, all right? With regard to technical bid evaluations that York has questioned, let me give you three. I've only looked at three. The first one was for janitorial services. The technical bid evaluation justification was that it's technically complex. This is a janitorial contract. Number two, the second one, I looked into Harbor Point AC. The technical bid evaluation there was really suspect. I've been in construction. I'm a claims consultant in the construction industry. I gave it to two construction managers to also have them evaluate. They said, this doesn't look right at all, okay? And the third one was for the KME award, all right? Why LSL never looked into these technical awards, I don't know. They looked into the York bid here, so they're capable of doing technical bid evaluations. I'll finish up next month.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wontrowski. And if we can make due note of those comments and see if we can respond to those, hopefully, in the future. Okay. Next, we're looking at closed session. Mr. General Counsel, any additions, deletions, or changes in our closed session agenda?
No changes. The board will be convening in closed session to discuss items CS1 and CS2 at this time in closed session.
All right, we will recess the closed session. All right, we're going to start the meeting up. All right, let's reconvene our meeting from closed session. Mr. General Counsel, do you have a report for us?
I do. The board unanimously authorized the filing of a petition for review with the Supreme Court in the matter of Stephen Poole et al. Versus Orange County Fire Authority. The relevant case numbers for the Poole case are noted on the agenda. And other than that, there was no reportable action.
All right, thank you. All right, in the interest of time, we're going to eliminate the Budget and Finance Committee Chair report tonight. And number two on our items is our minutes. Do we have a motion to approve minutes from our last meeting?
Move to approve.
Excuse me, you have a speaker card for item number two.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. All right. Yes, we do. All right. Mr. Wontrowski, item number two.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a simple
reference
request.
Reference our minutes.
Oh, Stephen Wontrowski from
Michigan. Yes,
Stephen. Simple request. If you go to page two of the minutes and you go to public comments, it states that Stephen Wontrowski, and then he goes on, supported the upcoming purchasing procurement audit. That's entirely incorrect. I got nine pages of documents objecting to the purchasing procurement audit report. So if somebody can just correct the minutes to reflect what I actually spoke about, I'd appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Madam Clerk, you have that notation? Okay.
We'll change the motion to as amended.
All righty. Yes, Mr. Spitzer.
On page 4, under the item I brought to the board asking for personal contact information, it was my item, and I brought it, and it shows I abstained.
Yeah.
I supported it. The only thing I can think of, I was sitting next to an empty chair that night, and I was trying to figure out how this happened. I think I might have pushed the button on the chair next to me and not my own, and that's why it recorded as abstaining, but I literally would not abstain on an item I brought to this board, and I think you can remember in my discussion I supported it, so I'd ask that I be added to the support.
All right. Duly noted, Madam Clerk. Yes, Mr. Shava.
I was just going to
ask a question. Yes, ma'am. Confirm it. All right, thank you. Yes, Mr. Barnett.
With regard to Mr. Spitzer's item, the I also supported that, and I also showed abstaining, so I'm going to suggest that Mr. Spitzer didn't hit the wrong button. It wasn't erroneous, and if you vote somehow, I always supported the contact thing, so you can check the record.
All right. Duly noted by our clerk. And I believe, we had a motion and a second. I lost track. We have a motion and a second. Any other conversation or dialogue? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Passes unanimously. All right. That moves us on to the consent calendar. All matters in the consent calendar are considered routine and will be approved in one motion unless a board member or a member of the public requests action on a specific item. I have two requests to speak, one on item number 6 and one on item number, another item. Just one on number 6 by Mr. Wentrowski. Do we have any other requests to pull any other items?
I'll move the balance.
All right.
I'd like to pull item 8, please.
I'm sorry, you'd like to?
Item 8.
Okay.
But I also would suggest that we put that towards another meeting because there may be some other discussion and it may take a while.
All right. Any opposition to moving that to another meeting, colleagues? And number 8, just number 8.
Second. Mr. Chair, I think that there is, that's the Human Resources Committee. And I think that there was a little bit of an urgency in starting to set up some meetings. So maybe with the chief or...
I think we can take care of it through the executive committee and maybe push that along. But
we have meetings on December 2nd.
No,
you
we
have
it.
Okay.
Or third and fourth,
second. We do.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
All right. I think we clarified that. So unless there's any opposition, we'll pull number 8 to the next meeting. And we have item number 6. And Gerard, which one did you want to pull? You had another one you wanted to pull?
No, okay. It was 8.
Okay. So with that, we have a motion on the floor to move the consent calendar with the exception of item number 6, I believe. Correct? And pulling number 8 and moving that forward to the next calendar. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any objections or abstentions? Seeing none, that moves us to item number 6. Mr. Wentrowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. This presentation on this item is basically for the county representatives. And I request that they take heed of what's going on here. The $36 million equity relief number through 2030 for the county is a very large amount. And it would be, in my opinion, it would be fiscally irresponsible for the county to approve the proposal without doing a cost study. We have evidence now of cities who have actually done cost studies. And when they compare that result to the formula method, which is contained in this equity proposal. They're way off. In other words, it doesn't work for a lot of the cities. I maintain that there's a high probability it's not going to work for the county either. Yes, they'll be entitled to a lot of money, but I suspect they're going to be entitled to even more if they do an actual cost study. The county owes the taxpayers a responsibility to do an accurate investigation of the proposed equity amount. And that the simplest way to do it is a cost study. It's so simple to do this cost study, and in my letter I show you how to do it. It can be done basically within 24 hours. The next thing is that a cost study shows actuals rather than theoreticals and all this other mumbo jumbo average rate SFF formula method. And it's an actual cost study is what an economist or accountant would actually do. All right? So if the county does the cost study, it will show the taxpayers exactly how much money is owed and needs to be given back to the county. It could then issue an equitable relief demand to the OCFA for that additional amount. And beware, in my opinion, the demand for additional equitable relief has got to be done before this proposed amendment is executed. If everybody executes the amendment, the door might be closed for getting any additional amount owed to the county and its taxpayers. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wontrowski. Okay. That moves us on to the discussion calendar.
Do you want to vote on that?
Oh, that's
true. I move the recommended action.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Pass. Any abstentions or objections? Passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, now we can move forward to discussion calendar and item number 9. Lori?
We're going to have a brief report from our auditor, Rich Cucucci, from Lentzall and Lungard.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Rich Cucucci, and I am a partner with LSL CPAs, your auditors. And I'm here tonight to present to you your June 30, 2013 audited financial statements. LSL has been engaged to perform a financial audit of your June 30, 2013 financials. And our objective was not only to assist in the preparation of those financials, but also to review account balances and also to assess the internal controls in place here at the Fire Authority. In regards to internal controls, those are the policies and procedures set in place here in order to safeguard the assets of the authority and also to detect and correct any material errors arising out of the financial reporting system. Our audit involved coming out here twice. We were here in the month of May for about a week. I had about four of my staff, and we at that time spent about 150 hours reviewing the internal controls here at the authority, and I'm happy to announce that the controls look sound, look very good. And then we came back out in August, and at that time we did all of our test work on the year-end account balances in order to render an opinion on these financial statements. And we have issued an unqualified opinion, which is a good thing, which means that we have issued a clean opinion on these financial statements. We also, since the authority spent over $500,000 in federal expenditures, we performed your single audit, and that's pretty much involving testing compliance and making sure that the monies were spent in accordance with federal guidance. So on top of the financial statements, on top of the single audit, every year we also issue you two communication letters. We did that again this year. The first one is the internal control letter or the SAS 115 letter. And in there, we would report to you any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses arising out of our internal control test work and also just arising out of our audit in general. This year, we did report one material weakness to you, and that's the result of the potential refund of the hazmat fees, and that's for about $1.7 million. And so we needed to do an adjustment, a prior period adjustment, and so we reported that to you in that letter. The other letter that we issue every year is the auditor's communication letter, and in there we would report to you if we had any difficulties during the audit, any disagreements with management. I'm happy to announce that we did not. Also in there, we talk about any new accounting changes. This year in the financial statements, there were a couple of changes resulting from recent GASB pronouncements, GASB 63 and 65. You might have noticed that the statement of net assets is now the statement of net position. It also gives guidance on certain types of accounts, deferred inflows and outflows. We also talked about upcoming GASB pronouncements. The big one is going to be in 2 years, in June 30, 2015. That's GASB 68, talking about the pension reporting. So I, you know, that's the audit in a nutshell. I know you all got a copy of the financial statements. I wanted to take this opportunity to let you know it was just a it was a really good audit. I want to thank the finance staff who were really an outstanding team to work with, particularly Jim Ruane, Gina Chung, and Tammy Pickens. It was a great effort putting these financial statements together, and it was another successful audit. So that's the audit in a nutshell, and I'm here to answer any questions if you might have any.
Mr. Kikuchi, thank you very much. Colleagues, any questions for audit? All right.
Just one comment.
Yes, Mr. Burnett.
I'd like to thank Mr. Kikuchi and his firm for a very thorough and complete audit. After going through the numbers, Budget and Finance was very well satisfied with the work product, very happy with what you've done, and thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. All right. We have a motion.
File.
We need a motion to receive and file.
Stephen, approve.
Second. We have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions or objections? All right, it passes unanimously. And I will at this time turn it over to our fine chair, Mr. Stephen Weinberg. We are on item number 10, and we have a request to speak.
I apologize for being late tonight, but I had another commitment that I couldn't break, and I apologize. The next item is the FY 2012-13 backfill time and total earnings.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I would suggest that we carry this over to another meeting. We have two important closed session items, and the hour is getting late. I don't see where this needs to be discussed tonight.
Second motion.
I would second that motion.
Any comments? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
All right. Efficiency. All right.
Next item is the chief's report. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of brief items. First of all, we've started our fiscal year 14-15 budget process. We're putting in all of our requests from the different departments. We will be reviewing at the executive management level our proposed budget March the 5th. It will come to your board budget and finance committee on the 14th of May for your deliberation. Secondly, we have just reviewed our first quarter expenditure review, which showed that we are at 22.7% of the budget, which is slightly under for the year of 25% for the quarter. Our back time overfill overtime usage is currently at 35.5%, which is higher than we would expect. And that's primarily due for some emergency overtime from some fire incidents that we had earlier in the year. And finally, I had mentioned earlier that we had a fire in the kitchen at one of our stations in Buena Park. We have relocated our crew to the hangar at the Fullerton Airport, so they're operating out of that facility. We're working on getting the station refurbed. There are some asbestos issues that we're taking care of now, and then we'll start working on replacing the kitchen. We expect that that'll take until approximately the second quarter of 2014 before we're back into the station. And finally, I wanted to make you aware, and I think most of you are already aware, that there was an anonymous letter that was sent regarding the hiring of our HR director. And this came about as a result of a very quick retirement from our former HR director, who left in July. We had only a couple weeks' notice before he left. We had an interim HR director, Janet Wells, that we brought in as a contract employee during the time that Janet was working with us through August and September. We found that Janet had all of the requisite skills and experience that we needed for the position. She had just recently retired from a position at the Irvine Water District, and we came up with the conclusion that she would be a good person to fill the HR director position. Now, the HR position is an at-will position, just like the other department heads on the executive management staff, and I was under the understanding that all at-will employees were at the discretion of the chief. When we got this letter, we asked for an opinion from our legal counsel, who has advised us that it's a different classification. The HR director is an administrative manager and not an executive manager, and therefore we should have done an open and competitive promotional process for the HR director. So we are committed to fixing that problem. We're going to place Ms. Wells on an interim position, go back to a promotional process. So we'll be coming back to the board with this issue and the resolve for that in the future. So, end of my report.
Thank you, Chief. Any board comments? Yes.
Yes, I am pleased to say I attended the Spurgeon Awards on November 8th, and I'm even more pleased to say that our chief received one of the Spurgeon Awards. So I congratulate you, Chief, and the OCFA for that award. I also would like to commend Chief Lori Zeller and Division Chief Kirk Wells for coming to my council meeting Monday night, and you came prepared with an excellent presentation on the equity issue and the JPA amendment. My city had provided extra questions for you ahead of time and extra questions on the spot, and there were a number of concerns that were presented, and you addressed them all very well. So I just wanted to let the board know what a good job Chief Wells and Chief Zeller did in Mission Viejo. And it did pass 4-1 in Mission Viejo.
Thank you.
One more comment. Santa Ana.
Oh.
I'm way on this side.
Yeah, way down there.
I am pleased to report that on November 18th, our council approved an agreement with OCFA to initiate a major capital improvement program to help improve the fire stations in Santa Ana, which are many of them need repairs very badly. $890,000 of CDBG funding has been earmarked towards improving the facilities, and it will greatly improve the essential facilities for our firefighters. So I'm very happy to inform that we're working on that. Also, with regards to some hazard reduction in the Santiago Creek, OCFA will be moving forward with this hazard reduction program, and the crew will be removing a large portion of hazardous vegetation in the city's flood control channel. I would like to thank OCFA, the hand crew, who will be removing this vegetation and reducing the threat of fires in that area. And finally, for their participation in the Latino Health Access Walk and Bike, I'd like to thank Station 75, Shift B. Both the engine and the trucks passed out fire prevention materials to children and provided EMS services to all walkers and bikers on Saturday, November 16th. One last thing, a flashover container was delivered to Centennial Park for training. This training container will help our firefighters become safer in fighting our fires. So thank you very much. With that, I hope everyone has a good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, real, Vice Chair.
Yeah, real quickly, just want to thank staff for coming to our November 6th council meeting so we could approve the equity study, and that was passed unanimously. I also attended the Spurgeon Awards, and congratulations to the chief for receiving that. And then lastly this morning, bright and early, I want to thank Chris Conception for attending my mayor's prayer breakfast, Thanksgiving breakfast this morning in the city of Tustin. That's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. Director Bissette.
Right before the meeting, I was made aware that one of our retired firefighters has written a Christmas book. It's called Christmas Major, and if you missed having your personal book signed and autographed, I'm sorry for that. Maybe you can get the author to do this. This is a beautiful book, so I suggest you go to the fire store sometime when it's open, during the day, I think, and buy one or two of these. It's actually very beautiful. And if you don't have your OCFA T-shirt, all the proceeds go to a great charity. So that's my Thanksgiving message to the board.
Thank you. Director Chavez.
You're giving us a book for your Thanksgiving message.
Let the ladies go first.
Oh, I'm sorry. Director Gamble? Oh. You draw straws.
Thank you.
Director McCall.
I just want to say that Lake Forest approved the equity sharing unanimously, and I also would like to say have a happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and a happy, safe New Year.
Thank you.
We won't be back to next year.
Director Campbell? Gamble?
Oh, I'm such the hardcore business one here. So everything that Catherine said, plus I'm going to ask my colleagues' consideration. Given the expanded roles and responsibilities of the Executive Committee, I would like to ask the Executive Committee to consider revising its meeting start time to an earlier time, perhaps 4 o'clock. It seems like you have a hearty agenda. And, Mr. Chair, unbeknownst to you, we started the public meeting at 5 after 8. The second thing I would like to talk about is I noticed, because I had the pleasure of sitting through the Executive Committee meeting, that the committee consider a requiring of staff in all future proposals and RFPs for professional services contracts for our ability to manage the contract. And professional services contracts, as we all know, are subject to change orders, scope deletions, scope modifications. Periodically, there is some necessary professional staff substitutions. And what I noticed in the contract materials, the respondents were not required to provide the following, and I suggest that the Budget and Finance Committee, Executive Committee, consider this as a minimum standard for all professional services contracts, and that is hourly rates for each individual professional, both regular rate, and if there's an overtime or evening rate, provide the same per each professional by name. Intervals for billing, for example, do these professional consultants bill by the hour, quarter hour, every 6 minutes, or is there a 4-hour minimum, 2-hour minimum? Is travel time billable, and if so, is it at the professional's hourly rate? If travel time occurs in the evening, or on Saturday, or on Sunday, or if there's an emergency, how is the professional compensated for that, not only travel time, but their work time? Reimbursable expenses. What constitutes reimbursable expenses? For example, is mileage a reimbursable expense? Meals on the road, if you're traveling out of town. I understand one of our management consultants or communication consultants is from Northern California. That's a long way to carry your lunch bag. And by the way, what is the markup on reimbursable expenses? And if someone's driving here or flying here, are they on the clock while they're doing it? That I noticed that in Executive Committee, item number 5 and 6, it's probably true in the IT contract for $1.5 million. And lastly, on a happy note, I want to thank Chief Zeller and Kirk Wells for coming to Rancho Santa Margarita. We had the pleasure of voting 5-0. I think we were the first city that adopted the amended JPA. They did an excellent presentation. And it was sort of like a kabuki coordinated dance with our staff. It was really quite beautiful with PowerPoint and the whole nine yards. So I want to thank you guys for that, and you answered all the questions and made it very easy for us to vote 5-0. And of course, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, and those are very good points, and I noticed that Chief Zeller has been taking copious notes, and hopefully we can incorporate those in future contracts. Well, no, Director Chavez is first. Great. And then we'll go.
Yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know what a wonderful job and that Lori did over the whole 9 months of the OSERS saga. Lori was there with me on Monday. It was a 9-hour meeting. The only reason she left was so she could go to another meeting. But it was nice to have her watching over us and taking care of our interests, whether we're structural or contract cities. She was there for everyone, and she made sure that everything was factual. And, you know, she's about as good an actuary as you can get. And on behalf of my city, I want to wish all of you and my family a very happy Thanksgiving for you and your families. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Barnett?
Just three quick items. I wanted to add the comments about Lori. You know, she is knowledgeable, candid, and articulate. She has been in all my dealings, and everybody I've talked to has had the same comments. So I just wanted to make that comment and throw my hat in the ring. Secondly, I wanted to basically second Director Gamble's suggestion that the executive committee meeting either be moved up or put on another day or something, because it does tend to continually run in and drag the entire board meeting, which probably isn't too spectacular. And last but not least, I wanted to thank Mr. Wontrowski for being, you know, an excellent monitor and public watchdog for the benefit of the public, and our mayor wanted me to pass on that same comment. There's not too many people that spend as much time as he does attending, following up, making comments. He's articulate, he's intelligent, he's knowledgeable. He doesn't get a lot of credit and recognition for it, frankly. I don't always agree with everything necessarily, but I want to commend him for all the effort and time. Very few people do that, and it's appreciated. I think he is looking out for the public interest.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, I forgot one more thing, and I think it's worthy of comment, and that's I attended the Heroes with a Heart Awards, and that was, I think, on the 25th of last month. So anyway, one of our captains from OCFA was given an award for some excellent services that he provided in South County to an elderly woman who had just lost her husband. So those are the kind of things that are really, really important, and I didn't want to forget to acknowledge that. And happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to announce that the City of Laguna Niguel did not accept the JPA amendment. However, the vote was 4-1. And you can guess who might have voted for it. however, the vote was taken with the full knowledge that it had already passed by that time. So I think it was more an expression of being a donor city, quote, unquote. We would like to see some way of seeing if there can be some little more equity to some of the cities that don't aren't as big as Irvine in terms of the refund. So the point was, I think Laguna Niguel was trying to make a point that we didn't want to do anything to hurt the fire authority. In fact, we were very effusive in our comments regarding our standards of service, all that. We're very happy. But the bottom line is the city thinks it's the citizens of Laguna Niguel are contributing significantly more than it apparently costs to provide that service in Laguna Niguel. So hopefully in the future there could be some future adjustment. I don't know how that's going to work. That's one of the reasons I voted to approve it. I can't see a way out of it at the present time, and I didn't want to damage the fire authority in any way. So I just want to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Well, I'd like to make the final comment. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and also a happy Hanukkah. And for a piece of trivia, Hanukkah and Thanksgiving fall on the same day. And for those that want to wait for it to come around again, it will be in 73,000 plus years when the two of them fall on the same date. And also, since the board will not be meeting, I wish everybody a happy holiday and a happy new year. With that, Mr. General Counsel, do we have a need for closed session?
We do. The board will be convening in closed session to discuss items CS3 and CS4 on this evening's agenda. The negotiator on CS3 will be Janet Wells. Barbara Raylino will not be joining us.
Thank you. We'll recess to closed session.
The closed session started at 9:35 and ended at 11:10 p.m. General Counsel Dave Kendig reported the board took no reportable action. The meeting was adjourned at 11:11 p.m.